Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is Palace Pages, Lemoodian Adventures, August 3rd, the first Palace Pages episode in August. Our devotional today is based on Mark 6, verse 52. 6:52 says as follows, "For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened." We are supposed to gain insight when God does something amazing. God is at work. That much is obvious. Miracles should be productive beyond meeting needs. They show us God's character. All creation testifies of God's invisible attributes. Indeed, everything is revealed that really needs to be known, but people still claim ignorance or accept lies instead of truth. Romans 1 says they are without excuse. It might be safe to say we all do it in varying degrees. We must find our way to grow from each incredible revelation of God's greatness. His capabilities shown also sharpen our trust. His love shown should make us hold him still more dear. He isn't wasting his effort. There are only tangible benefits of miracles, obviously, such as everyone got fed and even after they had food for days. But when people focus on the wrong things or miss the proffered insight, a given aspect of what God was trying to accomplish is lost, or at least not allowed to have the impact intended. How long might just one miracle pay dividends? Forever. Consider salvation, if nothing else. Praise God, miraculous intervention is still common and still has the purpose of exhibiting his love and teaching us about his character. Reaching new heights in Jesus must include gathering insight from his interventions. A little victory sound.
I'm back, y'all.
This one.
Yeah.
It's a fine treasure song. Okay, so the knights that came with Lord Tulidor are marching through the palace searching for the missing toddler. What you know, or think you know, is that the that the king's order, Tudor, has said that it is to turn the toddler over to Tudor. Young Selena the page was entering the chambers of the princess at the royal retreat, managed to adeptly dodge two of the heavy-clad knights that are searching the palace for the young orphan, but then turned the corner and was brought up face-to-face with Lord Tulidor. And he did put his hands on you and press your back up against the wall and said,
tell me where the boy is.
I know nothing about this boy.
You'll see. Are you a page?
Yes. I'm bringing the daily report from the falconry.
Very well. Deliver your report, and then find me in the hall outside. I will give you a message to take. He sets your feet on the ground. Just as he does so, and he puts you down, he still has his hand on the front of your tunic, firm grasp on you. A knight steps around the corner. You don't recognize him. At least you've never been introduced, but he is far above your station. And he immediately narrows his gaze, staring at Lord Tulidor. He has black hair with just a hint of gray streaks through it, a mustache, and a goatee. His skin is kind of rough, and the pores in his face are kind of large. You would say he is handsome, but that holds him back a little bit because his skin is not, his complexion is not clear. It's not pimply, it's just he's got large pores. He's bulky and strong, clearly broad-shouldered. He's wearing field plate armor. And as he steps around the corner, he has his hand on his sword, and you can see that his sword is unlatched. And the two of them meet eyes. Now, as he does so, he still has his hand on your tunic and has you held up against the wall, so you're not able to just scramble away. Release the girl. You see Tulidor roll his eyes and kind of almost rolls his head. And he says, "You give commands above your station, Lord Vaynor. Perhaps, but I will kill you just the same if you do not take my orders. I have the king's authority," Tulidor says. "I do not recognize it. Your actions will be deemed treason." At this point, he's lifted you up off the ground and your toes are barely touching the ground again. You can see his muscle bulging. He has a cloth sleeve, but he has a bronze breastplate. Vaynor says, "I think not. It is not debatable. I have the king's royal order. The child is to be released into my possession." "Why are you plaguing this young lady with your presence? She knows nothing. Let her go." "I was just about to let her go when you interrupted me. And yet your hand is still on her." He reaches across his body and draws his sword the first foot or so. He says, "Remove it from her or I will remove it myself." "What's gotten into you, mortal man?" "Enough then." And Lord Vaynor draws his sword. Okay, at that point, Tulidor like makes a quick move with his arm and your toes are just touching the ground, and he kind of let you slide along the ground and then kind of fall to the floor. With a dex check, you can basically be standing in a crouch.
What's that again?
D20 equal or less than your dex. We've been playing this game for like a year and a half.
16. My dex is 16.
Okay, so you come to a crouch at floor level. And then you see that the door to the princess's sitting chambers is open.
and you could kind of scramble through the door and get away from the what appears to be ensuing trouble.
I'm hesitating, but I might... it's not a very good idea, because I might give myself bad death, but if stuff gets out of control, I'm going to cast stun on the Duodor, but I would have to do it secretly.
Okay. Well, your spells generally do not produce an effect, like a blast of color or that kind of thing. There are some that do, but that one doesn't.
I should go, like, right behind the door and like, just peek out and cast it.
Okay, all right, so you're going through the door and trying to be out of view, basically?
Yeah. The Lord door is facing away from me, right?
Correct.
Because if he sees me, he might be angry. I'm hoping he just thinks he's having help failure or something.
Well, that's when you cast it, and then you hide.
Yeah, I just cast it and run into the chambers.
Tulidor unsheaths his sword as well.
Ha!
Down the hallway, some distance, you see a retreat guard say, Lord Baynor, are you in need of assistance? And Baynor does not answer. They wave their swords toward each other without actually, like, striking yet. Okay. So you've moved to be just inside, and you see that in the room, Princess Angela and two of her ladies-in-waiting are in the room. The one lady's in a long, flowing orange dress, kind of pale orange, and the other is in a pink dress, and Princess Angela is in a light blue dress. And they, when you step in, they move. You hear the first kind of like tang of sword on sword. That didn't sound like sword on sword, did it?
No.
Okay.
That was them swinging, but not actually striking.
That was them swinging, but not actually striking. Okay, anyway. And the ladies in waiting step forward, and they sort of like pull you aside away from the door, and the lady in orange is trying to shut the door, and as they do so, Angela is trying to slip out into the hallway. And you hear the lady say, Princess, no! And yeah. She stops at the door about halfway shut.
I think they want her to go out there.
Are you saying something or doing something? It's a role-playing game. There's no signs that pop up with the subtext mode. Okay. You hear Tulidor say, I will slay you this day and have your name and your family's name stricken from the kingdom's records as far back as it goes.
Ooh.
Baynor says, I have three sons, noblemen all. They will assure my lineage for decades to come. You will go down in history as the villain who plagued the princess, who laid hands on innocence. Tulidor says, and I have already several times been recorded as such. If you were more important, you might get a line in my history that says, and that day he killed Baynor.
That was rude.
Okay. The princess says, Tulidor, Lord Baynor. The kingdom's knights do not draw swords one against another. This man is guilty of treason. Tulidor says, Baynor says, I would claim the same. Princess says, in truth, He does have a royal order. I believe it is falsified, m'lady. I do not believe the king would go against your wishes. I don't know that the king knows my wishes in this matter, Vaynor. While I would have you protect me, I should not like to bury Lord Tulidor this day. At this point in time, the ladies-in-waiting, both of them, say, why have you come? There is trouble now.
That is what I
did. Okay, they whisk you away from the room so you can't be heard in the hallway. What? What is it?
We have boy in the balcony that's supposed to be protecting him, but we fear that any moment now the Lord Theodore's knights will find
us. Both of them become very pale, and one of the girls pulls out a little silk handkerchief and begins to wipe her bottom lip with it as it's quivering. Is there anywhere that you can take him that he will not be found?
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
They will surely search the falconry. The princess may surrender the void to the king, if it is the king's will, but we are not certain that Lord Tulidor is acting on the royal order. And the princess, her orders have almost as much strength as the king's, as it is. Can you think of anywhere that you could take him, that you could keep him safe? The other girl says, we could take him outside the retreat. They could slip out the postern gate, the little door there where they bring in the eggs in the morning. And then to the field beyond. It's out of view of the courtyard. You know, the first girl who was asking if there's one. Do you have any better ideas?
The only other idea that my team is trying to bring. Protect the boy is to bring him to one of the rooms that surely will protect the rooms.
Yes. Lord Tulidor and his men will not be fooled by a game of hide and seek.
Man, I wish I was here right now. I have a perfect spot.
And if he spots him once, it's over. Right now, he only has the suspicion that he is here. I wish we could talk to the princess. You hear, it seems like a negotiation has begun, but you can't quite make out what they're saying. From the back room, which is deeper into the princess's chambers, an armed guardsman enters the room and takes stance about two-thirds of the way forward, so he's facing the door, and you and the ladies-in-waiting are further back away, so there he's between you and the trouble.
We could possibly, with an okay from the princess, take him to an inn or another place where we could stay in case he searches much longer.
If you can make it out of the keep without being spotted, Lord Tulidor will surely give up his search by sundown, I think. A In any case, he can't stay where he is. He'll never make it. Go back to your friends. Tell them they have the princess's blessing to remove the boy from the keep by whatever secretive methods they can do so. Do not return to the keep with the boy until you see a column of pink smoke burning from the north tower. That's how we will let you know that Lord Theodore is gone. If you are spotted, he will take the boy, and we will never see him again. It is certain. It has happened before. Has it? It has. I heard about it myself. Just a rumor? No, definitely true. I heard from a good source.
We have no time.
You can go out the back way. It dumps onto the same hall. Hurry now. Wait. She takes off a necklace that she's wearing that has a small key on it. Take this. It will be your token, proof that I sent you. If this is a royal order, you will be giving your life for that boy. It must be so. I believe the princess would want it. But even if she doesn't, I cannot see him just disappear. It will be forever known as an act of love. But never written down, she said. No, an act of love unwritten. And it seemed to like the two of them seemed to be like uniting over some secret that you don't know what they're talking about. Like she says, an act of love unwritten, like that, and they both like meet eyes, and it seems like they both know what that means, but they don't explain it, and you don't know what it means.
Thank you.
Go now, out the back way. She says, Ray.
Yes, milady.
You never saw her. She was never here.
Yes, milady.
Then you run out the back way.
Wow, to cast a spell. You lost your memory.
Okay. All right. So you're out the back way. You go via the back stairs up to the upper floor and then down the hall, up the stairs. And you see two knights standing at the bottom of the stairs as before. They immediately recognize you and offer you passage so that you can go up the stairs. You do know, you're pretty sure that the scrum in the hallway did not turn into a brawl. Like, they were not actually fighting. The princess had somehow dissuaded them from killing each other.
Aww.
Okay. Back out in the falconry.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095.
You have waited. Everything seems calm. They've kept the door shut. And then you remember the falconer is there. And
ooh.
One lady in waiting, and then the boy, and Selena returns.
Okay. Oh, she's got a knock.
You have seen, you have seen that it appears that they've produced a total of about 12 of those heavily armored knights, or heavily armored warriors, whatever they are, and they wear full helm, you can't see their faces, anything like that. And you see that they are searching the grounds and the keep pretty thoroughly.
Well, I look over the edge and I see if there's any, like, by the front.
Yes, there are two guards standing right in the front of the keep.
Back gate, the small door where the morning eggs come.
Oh.
They'll run out to the field and stay there until sundown. You cannot come back until a pool of pink smoke flies off the top deck. That'll be our signal for you.
I would suggest the secret passages that are in our room. I doubt they know about those, but that works too.
Clearly, they know that they're right there. Under the structure of the keep. And besides, that's dangerous.
It's true, I guess. Thanks for fighting for them. I like them.
And they're probably still there.
Maybe. A lot of them are still
there. We must hurry. We'll be coming
soon. The falconer kind of rushes over to the edge and looks toward the back of the keep, which is where the kitchen and the storage and like that are. And you can take that for you and just, there's no way. We'll never make it.
Oh.
They're searching that entire area of the keep. There are only two options. One of them is a magical means, and it depends on how much risk you're willing to take. The other is a distraction.
I could cause a distraction.
You're charged with the care for the boys. That would be me charged with distraction.
But what if
the bird?
What?
We could set a bird to fly in the passage. But
one would not be a sufficient distraction. But if that is the choice we make, I will cause a distraction. I guarantee you it will lure them to search the area in which I am in. However, there might be a way. It's a little bit risky. But if we go soon, now, I've done it before. I know it can work.
What is it?
I have a magical spell, an ability, to allow us to shrink down, including the board and the rest. Then we can ride the falcon outside the gate. The spell will only last for 30 seconds, 2 minutes. As soon as we are outside the gate, we will need to land and sleep. If we are still airborne, then the spell ends, we will fall whatever distance, because the falcon will not be able to carry us. What say you?
I'm just thinking in my mind, it's freaking.
Won't you get hurt if you cause a distraction? I mean, if they figure out it was you, you'd be breaching a king's order very publicly. You could be put to death.
The truth is...
That's true.
Well, the truth is that...
I can get my horse.
It may not be the king's orders, because why would the king go against the princess?
No, makes sense, though.
I think so, too. But at the same time, he has written orders from the king. It's possible that he just doesn't understand that the princess wants something different.
Well, we must go.
I was going to get the horse and either be easier way for us.
There's no way you get the horse. Yeah. There's knights all over the place.
Yeah. The stables is too far away.
The safest choice of getting away would be the spell, not the safest in getting hooked.
If we don't fall off the falcons,
we're fine.
There should be no danger in it. Maria says, I don't know about riding on a falcon. I'm basically a non-combatant.
You could ride on the same one as me. I have multiple skills in riding animals. I can assure you that you or the boy will not fall off. Unless we grow.
We will take 3 falcons. One of them will be my falcon. He is well trained, and I have ridden on him before.
Oh.
You will ride one, and you and Maria will ride the other and take the boy. If something happens and one of you falls, I should be able to get my falcon to catch you before you hit the ground.
You will be on your own, as I will have to pay close attention to them. If you fall, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
His training surrounds such. I think either one of us would sacrifice our life to see you and the boy to safety. Agreed?
Mm-hmm. Yowch.
He looks you up and down and says, you seem to be not overly equipped. You might be pushing the limit a little bit with your armor, but it should work.
Yeah, that's all I don't have.
Help me get the birds.
Wait, what about... Bummer. What's the name that I named the other bird?
Is it Razor?
Yeah, yeah. You named it Razor.
I don't know if Razor is well enough trained.
He's a little young.
Take him with us.
He or she? I forgot.
It's a she. That's what you said.
Yeah, she's okay. She's a little young. Better with me for here. If I see you through safely to outside the walls, the three of you can take the boy into the countryside to hide wherever. I can come back into the keep. Sure, care for the falcons and what, and monitor the situation here. Marissa's, I think you're taking a great risk. She seems to be kind of like maybe a little bit enamored with him, you think, from the way she's looking at him. And he says, we're all taking a great risk. Our loyalty to the princess and to the boy outweighs personal concerns, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I pledge myself to this task. Will you do the same? He looks specifically at the two of you.
Yes.
We must go now.
He looks at her. And will you? She says, I agreed to ride a falcon. Beyond that, I'd take any risk. And she hugs the boy. He kind of coos at her. So you remove three falcons from the cages. One returns that was out hunting at that time, and he opens the cage, goes inside, and he closes it up. And the birds get pretty excited when they come to the cages. And, you know, there's probably some others that it's about time for them to go out. But
if we send more, they won't notice. That just
true.
Yeah. Just, the problem is they may hunt us. I suggest we just do what we're doing.
Yeah.
He scans the sky. We also must make sure that no other falcons are returning that would, in the last second, decide to pick one of us off. Looks clear. The falcons will be here on the railing. As we shrink down, we will arrive on the railing and then have to climb onto the falcons. We cannot shrink onto the falcons. So, make sure all of your gear is stowed and nothing is loose.
Oh, I was just going to say, you jump on the falcon and shrink.
Shall I mount first, or shall you? I may need help.
You. I'll help you mount.
Oh, okay. Right. So, you stand, basically the rampart is in front of you that's made of stone, and then on top of it is that railing that you were using before to let the birds kind of sun, and you kept them like tied leather thongs to it so they didn't fly away and stuff like that, but you let them kind of out of their cages for exercise and that kind of thing, which is sent to you right now. Put the three birds on there, and they each have a leather thong attached to their ankle. What's that?
But I need a glove.
Not who you're riding. You only need the glove if you're holding the falcon. You probably won't be holding the falcon after.
Okay.
So the falcon will probably just go out for the rest of its day and come back.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so he waves his hand. There's no gestures or incantations like you may have seen mages do or anything like that. So you're pretty sure now you've figured out he's a druid. Okay? And there is a burst of magical energy. It's kind of violet colored and a crackling that fills the air, and all four of you are shrunk down to be tiny. Now that means that to scale, the toddler is really tiny, like probably 3/8 of an inch. Yeah, like that. And each of you is about an inch tall. Standing next to the birds that are roughly a 10 inches to a foot tall. Okay? And they do have little straps on them. And so she starts to try to climb up. She hands you the boy first. Starts to try to climb up. She's having trouble. Okay, you're helping her up.
Yep.
All right, so roll a percentile dice.
Get my dice off.
Okay, she is struggling, basically can't lift herself up onto the bird by herself. She needs help.
Just push her.
I think I'm missing a dice. No.
It's stressful.
24. Yep, okay, so you lift her up, no problem. You try to put your hand on her one side of her butt and pull her up, and she swings her leg over, and she reaches down for the boy. And then you have to climb up. Are you sitting in front of her or behind her? In front of her, you'll have more control of the bird, because you'll be able to, like, clutch its feathers around its neck and kind of
control it.
Behind her, you have more control of making sure she doesn't fall off.
I'm going to get in front.
Okay. All right. So make a dex check.
This does smell so good. Okay. I have my dice.
These two.
I don't like my dice.
No, that's wrong.
I can't see it.
17.
So you're sloppily climbing up, and
to help up.
She actually winds up helping you.
Oh, okay.
So you basically got your foot up and was caught in front of her on the bird, but you couldn't get your butt up onto the above. You were getting stuck in the feathers basically, and then she like pushed the feathers down and pushes on your back a little bit just enough to
see. I feel like the birds would not be happy about this. It would feel like toothpicks trying to climb on them.
You know, you're not nearly as thin as a toothpick. It's more like a Lego character. You're more like that.
Four-headed chicken. I climb up.
Well, this thing would be a giant to us because we'd be this small.
Carries around as a weapon.
Okay. Meanwhile, he swings up into the saddle. You have to get up in the saddle yourself.
Yeah.
So make a dex check.
10 and 15. I made it.
Okay.
This is your captain's speaking. All right.
And then sooner are all three birds loaded. She's holding the baby and she's holding on to you. As he says, forward now, forward. And the bird kind of starts to move forward, and the string is taut, the leather is taut, and he just kicks it with his foot, and it untangles around the bird's leg, and the falcon launches out into the air and begins to soar down over the courtyard.
Okay?
So you know you need to do the same thing, urge the bird forward.
Forward.
Okay, so roll percentile dice, you need a high number, it's based on charisma.
Say it strongly.
Well, that's not fun. 4.
Okay, so you start to urge the bird forward, and instead of it going the way you want it to, it starts to kind of dance around, and it's facing in the wrong direction. And you're, like, clutching on its neck and trying to get it to...
It's not like riding a horse!
Okay. And then it seems to, like, at the last second, it thinks the better of it and realizes that it has the ability to fly, or thinks it does, and it sort of, like, tries to launch itself sideways off the edge toward the bird that just took off. Its leg is still tied. And so it starts to flop down and directly it's going to smack the wall unless you can untie the rope very, very quickly.
So
you can kick at it like he did, or you can hang upside down and try to...
I kick at it.
Draw your sword and cut it.
Wouldn't be time.
I'm
talking very quickly.
I kick it.
Okay. So roll a dex check.
Come on!
You're bad at dex checks, dude.
It falls on the floor.
Doesn't count on the floor.
What?
It does not count on the
floor. I'm 11. I rolled a different dice. 11.
Okay.
I made it in.
All right.
Give me my dice.
And so the bird is floppy and sideways and plummets toward the pavement, but it is free of the rope.
So glad it didn't count on the floor. I rolled a 19.
Well, it wouldn't count because
so glad.
It might have been something different had you rolled it on the table. That's why we don't count it. Okay. The wind is like an explosion in your ears as you plummet toward the ground, and you hear a loud screech that makes your ears ring, and then the bird twists, and it's pretty much like a 5G maneuver. You feel yourself pressed, and you're clutching to hold on, and you make Benbar's lift gates in order to hold on to the bird.
I don't know what that is.
Percentile dice low.
You're like holding like this and your legs are hanging when the boat's upside down.
7% is your base number, so you need a low number. And it's multiplied by the difficulty.
I got a 14.
14? That's good. 14.
Unless I count. 10 and a 4. 10 and 4.
Yes, 14. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Okay, so you clutch onto the bird, and the bird... First upside down, you're kind of hanging there for a second, and then he goes like this, and he goes down, and he actually goes through the postern gate. So instead of over the wall, which was originally intended, he goes through the gate. The gate portcullis is up, and you go right under the spikes, and they look huge, like they're man-sized spikes. You go right underneath, and it goes whoosh, and out over top of the road, and you see a wagon there, and some people gathered around the gate.
A huge wagon.
And out toward the countryside. All right, so meanwhile, you are attempting to get your bird to go off the edge and at least to pull the cord tight first and then to kick it to get it to come unraveled. So roll percentile dice as you try to urge the bird forward.
Yeah, don't
feel... Forward!
Don't feel like I did. I'm so used to riding a horse, not a bird.
Is it the 2 dice or the 1?
Yes.
Percentile dice. 1 is 10s, 1 is 1s.
Yeah.
98. Oh, nice. Okay, so the bird responds very well to you, and it stretches forward but stops before jumping off the edge, and you kick the rope. Make a dex check.
16.
Okay. The rope unravels, and the bird just kind of like falls off the edge forward, extends his wings, and begins to fly. And you soar out over the wall. Okay. So you clear the postern gate, you soar over the top of the wall, and pretty quickly you're able to pick out the other falcon because it's the only thing in the air, and you kind of, you both kind of like, as best you can, steer the birds in that direction. And then as you're coming to light, you see that there's high grasses, you're landing in a field, there's high grasses that to you are going to be like 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
They're probably in the neighborhood of like a foot to a foot and a half tall, but they're going to be very high, and they're taller than the birds. And so the birds are going down to land. They're following the falconer's bird. And then as you're landing, you're going to roll initiative and see whether or not you're able to land and basically jump off or dismount the birds, or whether you enlarge first. So you roll initiative, add dex bonus if you have it. So you're enlarging. You're in 6. You have to beat 6 to get enlarged before the bird, before, otherwise you're enlarging while you're still on the bird. So roll a d6 and add your dex bonus. And you're enlarging in 1. So you're probably going to make it. Did you roll?
5.
No problem. You're getting off in time.
Oh, I don't have my d6. So I have to get 6 to not enlarge?
Correct. Maria is enlarging in 1. She's getting off in time. Tyler is with her. Nice. Okay. So basically what happens is the bird hits the ground, and they don't land really easily because there's a lot of weeds and grass, like tares basically, and you're landing in the high grass, and so they hit the grass and they kind of flop to the ground, and then as you're still sitting on them, you realize, like, you feel funny, like you're starting to get big, and so you quickly roll off in the direction that the other birds aren't, and you just like step off and up. And as you're stepping off of the bird, you're getting larger, and also being careful not to step on the bird. And then Maria jumps off, and she's on her butt on the ground. She's not standing up. And you rolled and kind of came up into a crouching
position. And Maria's just on her butt going,
ta-da-da! We're big now!
And so as you've landed, you're about 40 feet from the wide intersection that is at the back postern gate of the keep. And you enlarge where you're in grass that's a foot tall. You're pretty much in view. Everyone can see you at that point. And so it's kind of like you just appeared out of nowhere. And she turns the boy away. She's sitting on the ground. She turns the boy like she's keeping him like camouflaged, like protected from sight. And you hear You see a man in heavy armor, or probably a man anyway, like the guys who were searching the keep. And he has a helm on his, covering his face. And
he's going to stop it.
Halt there! Stop! Stop where you are!
Okay, the falconer steps up and he says, "Go, I'll cover you."
Bye!
And he turns and faces the guy, and he's basically walking directly in line, so you're kind of concealed a little bit behind him, but of course you're too big to be hidden. So, what do you do?
Oh, I run over to Maria, and I help her get up with the baby, and I run.
Okay, so the three of you are running?
Yeah.
All right.
And the baby.
Yeah, well, he doesn't run. He gets carried. He does walk, but only he's a toddler. He toddles.
He won't really walk.
He would not get away. No way. Okay. So as he does that, the falconer makes some noises, like click, click, and chirp noises. And you see all three falcons struggle with the weeds for a second and then jump into the air. And they soar past him toward the guy in heavy armor. And then as he is approaching, he is drawing his short sword.
Let's go, falcon paddle.
Falcons.
Okay. You occasionally glance over your shoulder as you're running toward the next road.
That's very gross.
And you see a hue of orangish energy play over top of the guy that he's fighting, and then he hits him twice, and the guy is definitely staggered back, but still standing. And then a second later, you notice that the guy seems very firm, and he slashes the falconer, and you do see a spray of blood. Remember that the falconer is lightly armored. Okay? At that point, you make it as so the postern gate road comes out from the gate and the heads due south. And there's mountains and hills up to the left. This is the same direction you went with Ralph and the guy. I mean, when he died. Anyway.
Hey!
On that road, coming from the shore, so coming from east to west, there's a wagon, and it's empty, and there is a driver, looks like a farmer, okay, and he's going...
Are there taxis going by?
No, the carriages only work in town, they don't come out here, unless it's like a rare circumstance, like somebody paid extra money or something. But anyway, as it's coming east to west toward the intersection, it looks like it probably would have turned and gone to town, but then as you come running up, he's looking at the three of you and the boy, and he's like, is everything okay? Do you need help?
We need to get away quickly. Someone is trying to take this boy from us.
So back in the direction of the postern gate, you hear something that could only be described as a roar.
What?
Look, I turn around.
Is there like a lion?
Okay. You see, as you turn around, you hear the roar. It didn't sound like a lion. It sounded like more like a dragon or a big beast like that, something like that. And as you turn around, you see the falconer fly from the intersection. Like he flies from where he apparently was struck or something like that. And he's flying backwards. And you see his sword kind of peels off to the left and disappears in the grass. And then he flies maybe like 40 feet. And then he hits the ground and it's kind of a sloppy fall. Like he didn't cushion his fall very well. He may have already been unconscious. Okay. At the gate, you see that there's a bit of a scrum going on. There's three or four individuals that are fighting the guy in heavy armor that the falconer was fighting. And you think you recognize at least one of them to be a squire of the same knight that you are of. And then there's one knight that you don't recognize who's wearing a moon protector tabard, and they are all fighting him at this point.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And he's holding his own. Okay?
The farmer says, jump on.
I help the two of them on with the baby.
All right, so you go to the back of the wagon. It's a buckboard wagon, so it's like made of planks inside, and then there's a gate across the back, like a tailgate, where that actually term originally comes from, and it's hinged. So you pull the pin, drop it down, and it becomes like steps, and so you crawl up in, and then Maria goes all the way up by the farmer, which she's in the wagon, but sitting behind the farmer, and you see that there's some straw in here, but nothing substantial. It's just like bits of straw. Otherwise, it's empty. And the two of you climb in?
Yeah.
Okay, does one of you shut the gate? Okay, so you pull the gate up, put the pin back in it. Meanwhile, he's turned the wagon around, and he's starting back eastward toward the shore, toward the hills and the shore. Okay? Yeah. And that's where he's deciding to go, apparently. And so it is away from the key.
We need to be able to see it at least in the tower.
Are we in the wagon?
Yes.
We at least need to be able to see the North Tower.
Yeah, well, you can see it from pretty far away, but in any case...
I'm going to see the pink smoke.
Oh.
Yeah, you'll go see that even further away. But if you get too far away, you can go see it. But anyway, the horse neighs, and the farmer smacks the horse, and you get a pretty good clippity-clap going as you're moving away. Now, no longer pressed to move or whatever, you're riding in the back of the wagon, you can watch, and you do see the falconer get up, and he stands up out of the grass. You can see that there's something looks like black or brown that's on the side of his face, so he's probably bleeding from his head, you think, and he does not have his sword, which fell in the grass somewhere. You saw it fly when he got knocked back, and you see that both of the squires that were fighting the big guy at the gate are down. And the knight is holding him off, and you're clanging sword and shield pretty heavily.
I gotta protect them.
You're helping by protecting
them. And then you hear the sound again. And it seems to come from the Dark Knight. I'll do it again for the left. Okay?
Dark Knight?
The guy that's... the bad guy.
Oh.
Okay? Remember, they're wearing dark... gray, almost black armor that completely covers and you can't see their face. And they don't have tabards indicating that any particular knighthood or knightly order, and that's what a dark knight is, when they cover their symbol so that whatever they're doing is not attributed back to their order. Okay? So anyway, the roar, the growl, roar, whatever seems to come from him, and you faintly hear on the wind the knight who's facing off with him say, he says,
I fear thee not.
And after about a 3 or 4 second pause, he says,
fire.
And you see archers on the wall, 10 or so, all fire at the dark knight from behind. And most of them bounces off his armor, but a number of arrows stick in his back and his shoulder.
At the dark knight?
Yep. The bad guy.
Nice.
And then he wades in, and they strike back and forth, and then you see the Dark Knight hits him on his shield, and it literally knocks him to the side, and he's on one knee, and then the Dark Knight stands over top, and he's pounding on his shield, and you see his shield start to bend, and he hits him in the head once. That basically, it's like he's holding himself up with his arm and his legs, and he's got his shield up, and his shield starts to bend. And then, at that point, you're beyond a cornfield and out of view.
Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
And
we're out of view, and so is our life.
Just as you went out of view, I forgot to say this, I apologize. Just as you went out of view, you saw one of the falcons swoop low over where the falconer was, and you see him reach up. And you see a flash of orange light and crackling, and then he's gone.
For the falcon?
Yep.
Oh, he must have shrunk again.
Shrunk and leapt up onto the falcon to get away. But he lost his sword. Okay. Anyway, then you pass the cornfields and you can't see it anymore. Even standing up, you look and
you can't see the actual comp. You can see the walls and the teeth and everything, and even the archers on the walls and the guards, but you can't see the fight. The sounds of banging do continue to echo for a minute more or so, and then it stops.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Please tell me it's the dog night that's good.
Okay. And then about 3 miles or so, and you can still see the top edge of the keep in the distance. Not quite on the horizon. It's closer than that. And you can see the city and some of the tall towers of the city and see columns of smoke rising from chimneys and that kind of thing. You arrive in a small village. You assume the farmer knows someone here or something. And you see in the village a large mill. It's a windmill. And its big blades are slowly creaking around. Top fighting music, sorry. And they pop and crack slightly as they turn in the breeze, which is a good 10-mile-an-hour breeze coming from the northeast. This is an inland village. You do see animals here, pigs, cows, sheep, gulls soar overhead. You realize you're not too terribly far from the shore, probably about 10 miles or so, but this is an inland village. And he pulls the wagon up in front of the mill. And then he says, "You'll be safe here, at least for now. I have a young cousin who is a knight errant. I will fetch him. Perhaps he will be able to find out what's going on back at the retreat. He may even have some aid for your flight."
Thank you so much. You're literally our life staple.
Okay. He looks at you and says, "Knock on the door." Okay, you knock on the door. 10 seconds or so, the door opens. You see a man there who's probably in his mid-60s, pretty old, kind of round. White beard, mustache, hair, curly, but unkempt. He's wearing a leather jerkin and commoner's clothes, and he has a wooden mallet in his right hand. He looks at you, and he doesn't recognize you. Clearly, you can see on his face he doesn't recognize you. But then he looks at the man on the wagon and he says, "Jacob, what's the meaning of this?" And he says, "Maury, this lad and these lasses are in some trouble. They need a place to lay low. What you be bringing them to me for? I don't need no trouble." He says, "Maury Miller ain't never turned out a person in need in his entire life." "And that may be true, Jacob. That may be true. Come on in, lad." And then the farmer says, "Go ahead. He'll keep you safe until we can figure out what's going on."
Okay.
Thank you.
Maria, as you get down off the wagon, she says, "Did you feel that when we flew down on the falcons off the wall? My stomach, it was like upside down in my body."
"Oh, I didn't fly down the wall."
"Too."
"I mean, it was the fast descent.
I don't know where I went.
Like going downstairs, but 100 times faster."
"I went down the gate. I went through the gate."
The toddler looks up and says, "Again! Again! Again!
Not again. No again."
Okay. And you
maybe later.
You enter the mill. On the wall, just inside, it's like a sitting room, basically, like a living room. And just inside, you see pictures, portraits. And they are portraits of would appear to be maybe all siblings, because they all look kind of similar. Two females, and four males, and they all look like siblings or whatever. And the place is messy. He's a little bit of a hoarder. There's stuff all over the place. He quickly, like, tries to clear some furniture so he can find a place to sit. He does bar the door. The mill is stone. The body of the mill is cobblestone, so it's stone with mortar in between, and it's like a little fortress. And with the door barred, it becomes a bit of a fortress. You could easily open it from the inside, but from the outside, it would be hard to get in. And you can see narrow arrow slits that go around all the way around the inside, so one can look outside. And then there are tapestries to cover them when it's raining, which that's similar to palace construction. You've seen that before. Okay. And he after he clears a place for you to sit or whatever, and he brings a pitcher and some little pewter cups for water, and he says, "So, tell me the story." And we'll stop there.
Not really much of a cliffhanger.
It doesn't always end on a cliffhanger.
But I want to play more.
Yeah, sorry.
I always want to play more.
Yeah.
When can we expand our session?
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.